Session number 10398, Reel 8.
This is Pomeroy, Reel 8. So, after you'd made out the educational program, what happened to you next?
I would like to add something to that. Yes. With the first schools, these were just the subjects we had. But later on, as we gained experience and we found what else was needed to educate our cadres, we also decided that we will include another subject called the History of the National Liberation Movement in the Philippines. Now, among the three of us, Comrade Reg, Bill, and I, we divided the writing of the subjects of the curriculum. Well, I will not explain that anymore, but each one of us has to do to write out the two subjects, because our aim is to give a sort of an outline to comrades when they come to the school. And although we will do the lecturing, when they go home, they have this outline so that they can remember at least the important points that were taken up in the school. So we prepared 2 month schools. And every time we have a school, we prepare the food too. You know, the rice, the dried fish, everything must be something that can be stored. See, so the food is not anything exotic. In fact, it's so boring, because you have rice and dried fish, rice and bagong. You don't know what bagong is.
No.
It is a salted fish which has been fermented. It can last a long time. You can keep it for ages without spoiling. We call it bagong. I know that Western people wouldn't like bagong, but we like it very much. we stored food that can be stored for a long time, because when you conduct a 2 month school, you cannot be getting food from the town all the time. It must be there day after day. You have to use this food. So we learned all the techniques about doing this. And although at the beginning the textbooks were not yet finished, because Bill and I and Comrade Greg were writing it out, see. So the first students did not have the written textbook. But later on, maybe after 7 or 8 months, we were already ready to give them a textbook for each subject.
With the guerrilla tactics, were the guerrilla units given certain targets so that they had to, were they given certain tasks which they had to accomplish in a certain period? If you took one particular guerrilla unit, were they told that you must achieve this amount of work in a month?
Well, you see, this is not our field. We are in the educational field. But there is a military department, and the head of this military department was Casto Alejandrino. Now, how he conducted his the planning and the work, we don't exactly know. But we were very critical of his methods, because he is not a military man. It's just an assignment given to him, and he has to deliver. So he did the best he could. And I think he made many mistakes.
Through inexperience, you mean?
Because of inexperience, of not being a military man.
Weren't there any military people to whom the task could have been given? More experienced military people?
There was a comrade whose name is Victoria. That's his alias. I don't know his real name. He had some training as a soldier, but only as a soldier. He could help in certain ways, but still, he is not a military expert. In fact, I think Bill knows more than Comrade Victoria. So these comrades did just the best they can. And if I look back at what has happened, their knowledge of military tactics and the methods they used was really very primitive.
What specific kind of military mistakes were made?
Well, let me tell you the mistakes they made. For instance, Comrade Castro Alejandrino decided that they will wear uniforms, khaki uniforms. Well, we didn't say anything because he's the head of his department. But later on, when we saw what happened during that period, it was not necessary to put any time and effort in making uniforms for our soldiers. We don't even have enough food for the soldiers. Why will you buy this khaki cloth? The cloth were there, but they were not even sewed up because we had to dodge the enemy. We had to walk miles and miles to go anywhere. It was a foolish adventure on his part.
It was a waste of resources.
Waste of resources. Another thing I noticed. Bill and I were in a group, but because I think we are more disciplined than any other group that went on a mission in the mountains, we not only remained together, but our intelligence was very efficient because we always supervised what our intelligence was doing. We gave them, we asked them questions, and when we think something is wrong or something's lacking or something there is inefficiency, we made suggestions. And we saw to it that there is no frittering around or foolish things to do, but that we work, we do things like an army. Well, there is another group which is really under Comrade Dimas Alang, who is supposed to be a military cadre. My God, this group got into a skirmish with the Philippine army when they should not. If they had good intelligence, they will not run into these people. So they all got separated. Somebody was killed, and this is the military group. We were not a military group. We were called the squad Balutan. That's joking, you know, because squad Balutan means you only carry clothes in your knapsack. Balutan, that means Balutan. While they are military cadres and a military group, why did they run into the enemy? We never ran into the enemy because we are very, our intelligence is very efficient. We know where the enemy is, if they are here, if they are there. So we avoid them because we are not supposed to fight the enemy. Now, they are supposed to fight, but at that time, you must try to evade the enemy because you are not strong enough to confront them. Why did they get into a fight, into a skirmish? They could have avoided it.
Was it carelessness?
Carelessness. And because the Comrade Dimas Alang is not very good at discipline. In our case, once we came across a Dumagat tribe, you know, we came into their homes.
Aboriginal people.
The Aboriginal people. And we were very hungry. We hadn't eaten for days and days, I think about 8 days. And there were camotes there. They have a plantation of camotes. Camotes is the sweet potatoes. We could see them. Our people, we were 85. My God, they were going to swoop on this food. You know, this is food. You just have to boil them. Or you can root them out and you will have these bulbs, you know, like potatoes. There were five of us who were leaders of that group. We told the comrades, hold on, we'll discuss this. So the five of us came together, and then we decided, no, we must not eat these sweet potatoes, because the Magads depend on these potatoes, and they're not here. If we could ask them permission, maybe they let us have some. But since they may be around, maybe they're spying on us, but we couldn't see them. We must not do it. Only with their consent and can we do this to them. Because some days, other groups from our outfits, from our organization can pass here, and they'll be massacred by the Magads, you see. We know that already for previous experiences, that's what happened when they become hostile to our groups. But if we respect them in their homes, nothing will happen, and they will respect us for it. You know, our comrades were very angry because they're so hungry. So were we. I said, we are also hungry, but we mustn't do it. It's against our principles to do these things. We must learn how to restrain ourselves. So we walked on. We went away.
So none of them touched it.
We did not. They did not touch the... Those military cadres, they wouldn't do it. They would have eaten the... They would have eaten those camotes.
But if you were in the forest, if you were driven into the forest by the government forces, was it possible to find food in growing wild in the forest?
At first, yes, we would find this fruit called katmon, which is very, very sour. But yet it could give you strength. Because I happened to eat one of these katmon. I was really very tired and hungry and losing strength. But as soon as I ate this katmon, I could walk, you know, very, very quickly, efficiently after I'd eaten this katmon.
Almost immediately.
Immediately. You know, it has a vivifying effect. Before I didn't want to walk anymore. I had no more strength. I saw this on the footpath, so I got one and ate it. It's very sour. It's not pleasant at all to eat, but it's edible. After I've eaten it, I had strength to walk, you know, walk a long distance because of what I ate. That's where I saw how food is essential to the human body. You know.
Where did you get this knowledge about what to eat and what not to eat in the jungle?
From experience in the jungle itself. You know, we learned something from the Dumagats too. They have a kind of... Now I forgot how it runs. They get from the bark of a tree. They go through a process where they refine this bark of the tree. It's called yuro. And there is a process where they refine it by means of sort of sewing it. And then it is cooked and it is like flour. And the taste of it is like flour. And this can give you sustenance if you know what bark to get, bark of trees to get. Because the primitive people, the Dumagats, use this frequently. So you have to know what kind of tree, and you can get this yuro.
What about animals? Could you catch and kill animals in the jungle?
Yes, if we have guns. Sometimes our comrades shoot wild boars or wild cats. When that happens, we have a feast. All of us would have, you know, the same portion. It is apportioned among us. But that's very seldom because wild animals run away from you. The moment they see human beings, they run away. And even these Dumagats, when they see us with our pistols and our guns, they run away. They're afraid of us. That's why when we came into this... the houses of the Dumagats, they have little huts there. We could not find anyone to speak to. They may be hiding among the trees, you know, and could see us, but we couldn't see them because they run very fast. They're fast in climbing trees, climbing rocks. They're very nimble.
So at first, agile. At first when you went into the mountains of Laguna, you were in a village?
No. When we went to Longos Laguna. First, we went to the house of a comrade in a village, and he fed us sardines and rice. And then we waited for the dark to come. And when it was dark, our courier brought us up the hills. You know,
into a camp.
Well, at first, not the camp. We have to walk for about 2 hours before we reach the camp.
But when you were in that camp at first, your supplies of food were all right.
Yes, because they were expecting us.
But the guerrillas in the camp were getting their food from the villagers.
Yeah, from the town, because we had also contacts in the towns. Some of the stores there are our some of the people who own stores where you can get rice and fish and vegetables, milk. Some of these stores are owned by comrades. So the comrades coming from our camp would go down, you know, during the, when it's dark, and stay there for the night, and in the morning they go up with all the goods that we need for our sustenance.
Now, earlier on, off the record, Bill and you were saying that many of your supplies of things like knapsacks and so on came from the American forces that they'd left behind.
Yes.
From the and that you got them from the second-hand shops.
Yes, yes. Some of them, I bought mine. Not all of us are able to get these knapsacks, because they're not, whatever were given to us are not enough for all of us. So if you have none, you have to buy it. And when you are walking in the forest or being a guerrilla, you cannot have too many clothes. I had only 3 changes of clothes. The one I'm wearing and two set, which I put in the knapsack. And I have a book there, and I have a notebook and toothpaste and all the things you need to survive, you know. You cannot have too much. You cannot bring too much because you have too much to carry.
So at first, were you mainly in one camp, or were you moving about a great deal?
There are many camps of Dukes there. You know, our camp is called the Education Department. We are all together. People who work in a certain organ, or you're doing the same things, you are in a camp. Well, there are other camps. There are military camps. You know, these camps are combat camps. They are there to fight the battalion combat teams of the Philippine Army. They are the ones who fight. And there is also what you call the organizational department. The organization department have their own camps. The general secretary, when he went into the forest, he had his own camp. We don't always are together, because we know that it is not good to put your eggs in one basket. We are dispersed.
How much did the Philippine Army use aeroplanes or helicopters against you?
Well, at first they didn't use these helicopters on us, because they didn't know where we were. It was very hard for them to tell. But when this Operation Four Roses happened, this is the time when Bill and I were captured.
Operation what?
It's called Operation Four Roses.
Four Roses.
Now, this Operation Four Roses was meant to catch 4 important cadres. That's the General Secretary, the head of the Organization Department, the head of the Education Department, and the head of the Military Department. They thought all these people are in one camp. And the helicopters and the aircraft came swooping down on us. We were the target. They thought we are all these 4 important people are there.
So they'd got the wrong
camp.
They
bagged us, yeah. They caught us.
Because they'd got the wrong camp.
They got the wrong camp. And besides, these people are not together. The secretary is in one camp. The head of the organizational department is in another camp. We are the education department. We are in another camp, and the military department is in another camp. But they thought this education department is the camp where all the 4 important men are.
Can you describe what happened when you were captured? Can you describe the details?
Yes, but we will already be going. I will no longer explain to you how we conducted the schools or.
We can go back to that.
Uh-huh. Well, in fact, during the year, we went to the mountains in 1950. And we were captured in 1952. We have been staying in the forest and mountains for 2 years. We have had a surprise attack before in 1951. And the second surprise attack was in 1952. That was when we were captured. Now, the thing is, we had a conference, and This was a very important conference because this is the conference that made us see that we must change tactics from the armed struggle to parliamentary and legal struggles, because we could see that the movement was being decimated. We could see that there were many surrenderies from our side. We could see that the battalion combat teams had become fiercer and could go anywhere in the forest. Before, we were stationed in places which we thought were safe. But in 1952, there was no place that was safe for us. And we had to be very mobile. Before, we could stay in one place for a month or 2 months. In 1952, we can only stay in one place for 1 week, and then we have to move away somewhere. Now, on this day, this was a very unfortunate day, because most of our... We had just finished a conference, and Luis Taruk, who is the head of the organizational department, was assigned to go to the north. You know, he was supposed to go to Cagayan and Isabela. And he left his wife with us, thinking this camp where we're safe. We were in a very remote part of the mountains, of the forest, very far from the towns. And unluckily, our security forces became depleted at that time, because we needed most of our security forces to go down and get food, because in the conference, all the food was consumed, and we needed another supply of food. So for each important cadre in the camp, each one of us is one security guard. You know, Bill has one, I have one, and the others have the top ones who are working in the education department has one security guard.
Like but a bodyguard.
Bodyguard, that's it. But even our security guards has to go down and get food. So we had really no security. And sometimes we do that thinking we are safe, because we are so far from the towns and the villages. But unluckily, it seems that there must have been some Dumagats who have been paid well by the army, by the BCT. We call this battalion combat teams BCT. And they must have pointed our camp without knowing who we are. You know, just, they know this is just an HMB camp. So Luis Taruk has just left, said goodbye to his wife. He was gone only for about 10 minutes with his retinue, you know, the group he was going with. And his wife was with us. But the lucky thing is I went up to, you see, we built our huts up on a hill. But if you want to get water, you have to go down to the plain. And there's water there. There's a creek. And the wife of Luis Taruk, we call her Lisa, that's her alias. She went down to wash clothes in the near the creek. I went up to do some work. I was going to type, to do some typing. And all of a sudden, we heard the burst of fire, shooting, coming from a certain direction. And immediately, I didn't have my shoes on. In fact, I was working. So because we are on top of a hill, I didn't even have a chance to talk with Bill. I just slid down the hill, to get away from the fire, because you can tell where the firing comes from. And Lisa was caught immediately. She was caught the firing. She was killed. We didn't know this, of course. But Bill and I, we were in our hut. We both slided down the hill to save ourselves. And at that moment, Bill lost his glasses, because he's always wearing glasses. I can get along without my glasses. But when Bill loses his glasses, he can hardly see. Everything is blurred around him. He lost his glasses. When we got down to the bottom of the hill, he told me, "I've lost my glasses," he says. And I said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I don't know, but you run." The commander of our camp has taught me something which came in handy. He taught me that when you hear a firing, you must at once determine where it comes from. And when you duck for cover, always remember that they will stop firing because they'll have to go onward towards you. When they stop firing, that's the time for you to run and run away from the direction where the fire goes. Run on either to the right or the left of where the firing is. Because if you run towards the direction, you might be caught by the next firing. So I just obey directions given us by the commander of the camp. He was not there.
So he went to the side.
I went, when the firing was like this, you see, I went this way. I got away from Bill. We have already agreed, when there is an emergency, you just save yourself. Don't think of saving anybody else, just save yourself. Because you are very important to the movement. So you save yourself, do whatever you can. I didn't even answer him. As soon as I heard the firing stop, I just went running in a different direction. I don't know what happened to Bill. And you know what stopped for a great while? I did not hear any firing. I was wondering what had happened. You know what had happened? The forces came and they saw Bill there. He was fumbling around for his glasses. And the sergeant was going to shoot him. But the captain, you know, brushed him aside. No, no. Don't kill him. We need him. We need him. So we can get information from him. So Bill was saved. They got him. You know? And of course, they interrogated him. And you know, the captain who led the team, he was promoted. The captain was promoted to
major.
Now, for 4 days, I wandered in the forest. And I came across first a woman comrade, then another woman comrade, then a man comrade, another man comrade, who were part of our team in the education department. Oh, we were so happy to see one another, you know. We hugged one another as if we have never seen one another for years. Just so we are together. And so we walked on and on and on and on. We didn't know, we were just walking around circles because we had no compass. And we thought, after that day, that we had already gone very far from the area in which the army had come around. So we were already happy, quite happy, and we were even singing on the way, you know. And one comrade sang, "What do you think happened to Comrade Bob?" We called Bill Bob, you know. I said, "I don't know. But what can we do now? We cannot go back and find out. You know, it's not good for us to go back. They might still be there."